This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Remember, if you need clarity in the mortgage buying process, if you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, remember, Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. You can tell it's fall because already it's choking me out this morning. My sinuses are already choking me out. And it already feels... Nah, it's not DEFCON 1 yet. No, that's too hot a take. No. It doesn't feel like there's life being choked out of Tom Brady. No. That's too much. That's too crazy. But I didn't know, let me adjust. I didn't think it was going to go just sunshine and roses and fantastic in Tampa Bay. I didn't think it was going to do that. When you're putting together a football team, when you're putting together an offense, when you're putting together relationships, this is going to be something that takes some time. So it's not DEFCON 1, though we are at a DEFCON. DEFCON 3? No. Yeah, DEFCON 4. Because it's week one. And I don't want to sound like a psycho and start shouting from the rooftops about how this thing is doomed for failure and this thing is crazy. You could say, well, then you have no spine. That's fine. I'm just not going to say things I don't think. Because I watched that game on Sunday afternoon, like most of America did. It's Tom Brady in a debut with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's taking on Drew Brees. It's right there. It's right there for everybody. And so I know you saw the same thing I did. And what I watched was New Orleans help out their quarterback. What I watched was Sean Payton, where he puts aside the ego, he gets his football team ready, he prepares not just for this season, but with he and Mickey Loomis prepare for the future of the New Orleans Saints, whether that be with Drew Brees, might this be his last season, whether that be with, I think the Taysom Hill thing is ridiculous, but it's a plan. Maybe Jameis Winston, maybe another quarterback there. There's still preparedness there. You sign Alvin Kamara. You do a couple of things for your future. You make sure that Michael Thomas is there long term. Hopefully he returns with health and things will be okay for the New Orleans Saints. But I watch them look at a 40-plus-year-old quarterback, and you watch the way it was, and I put it even in the notes, is you look through what they did. Lots of screens, lots of short plays, things to attack Tampa Bay's defense, which isn't the worst defense in the world, but certainly not the best. Little things that would let Tampa Bay get in their own way. And I saw Sean Payton in that game, and I said, that's a guy without ego. They're NFL coaches. They have massive egos, trust me. But in comparison to the other NFL coaches, there's a guy who's let his ego down. He's helping out his player. He knows that his player is what drives that team to success. He will continue to do it. It is not just some old hanging-on quarterback. Drew Brees, and save some of the stuff we said during the summer. I know, okay. Drew Brees still has a lot of gravitas in that organization. Drew Brees is still a leader for that organization. They go as Drew goes. And Sean Payton knows that. And he needs to put together an offense that maybe Drew Brees wouldn't have wanted to run 10 years ago because he didn't have to run 10 years ago. And he could go big and vertical and do all those things with different wide receivers, and they can go out and they could win a bunch of games, and they could do it that way. Well, now instead of at 31 years old, you're at over 40 years old, and you need to be taken care of. And that's what we saw Sean Payton do last week. I saw a Super Bowl winning head coach put down his ego. And on the other sideline, I looked and I went, oh, goodness. It's not destined for failure. It can be fixed and more than likely would be fixed, and I'm rooting for it to be fixed. But I went, this isn't guys being off schedule. This isn't a bad performance. This is ego. Folks, what we saw last Sunday evening was ego. With Tom Brady and with Bruce Arians. Drew Brees and Sean Payton helping each other out, doing what needs to be done. I can throw all the platitudes you need to. And on the other sideline, there's ego. Tom Brady talked about those struggles. Here's Tom Brady.
I think certainly poor execution, and, you know, it's what it comes down to. It's a game of execution, and obviously they, you know, made more plays than we did and made some just bad, terrible turnovers, and it's hard to win. Turn the ball over like that.
Yeah, we've heard Tom talk like that before. Tom's a big boy. Tom's 43 years old. Tom can talk about himself in those terms. I don't think Tom needs to be coddled by anybody. That's not the way it works. He knows. But then I heard Bruce Arians hit it.
He looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time, so it's kind of unusual to see that in the ball game because they didn't do the things that we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for.
Yeah, that's putting it on your quarterback. And Tom Brady's a big boy. And again, Tom Brady can probably take that. But if that's going to be the continuing mantra, folks, you guys are going nowhere. You're going nowhere. You better fix it, and you better fix it in a hurry. And if it comes down to which one, I think it's got to be Bruce Arians who acquiesces and lets Tom Brady do what Tom Brady can do. I know you can say Tom Brady looked good in practice. You're hitting nobody in practice. I know you can say that Tom Brady looked like Tom Brady out there on a field where you were working out in front of no refs because you weren't allowed to have refs. I think maybe knowing it's Tom Brady, probably snuck in some refs, so maybe I have to take that back. But there's no refs. There's no real people running into each other. Tom Brady can't be hit. Tom Brady can't hear footsteps. Other guys are not really running into each other because you have to be able to make yourself available for the regular season, so we're not running into each other the way we would in a normal training camp because you need these guys for every single week, and because we haven't had the off-season programs where guys can get together. You're afraid to work these guys out the way you did. Soft tissue injuries are scaring the bejesus out of coaches in the NFL. So when you're telling me, when Bruce Arians is telling me that, I think, buddy, that's a failure on your part, not necessarily Tom Brady's. Hey, playing like garbage is playing like garbage, and Tom Brady played like garbage for the most of it. I know Pro Football Focus was nicer to him. I can understand Pro Football Focus's position, but a lot of us expect greatness from Tom Brady, and there was just some things that were off schedule. They were able to clean up on it on the New Orleans end. We'll call garbage garbage because that's what they're calling it, so I don't need to mince words for Tom Brady. But for Bruce Arians to say that publicly, they did everything that we were supposed to do. They did everything we saw them doing. They did nothing different. Then I think that's a failure on your end because Mike Evans is a hell of an athlete and Rob Gronkowski is still a hell of an athlete and you still have good weapons, really good weapons, and I know you want to go vertical, and that's always been your calling card: attack, push, throw it all over the place, get after them. I know that's always been your calling card. But if you can't do it, and this is the best you got, you're going to have to change that calling card, Bruce. You're going to have to change it. Because I know that you have your system, and this is where the problems come in, because you have two guys who are at the pinnacle of success. One guy in Tom Brady who's done it six times over and has been to nine of those appearances in the Super Bowl. And Bruce Arians certainly isn't any spring chicken and has been a very successful coach in his own right. But for Bruce, it might be your system, but who's the guy running the controls? I knew it wasn't going to be easy. I knew it wasn't going to be perfect. I knew we thought maybe a little bit too much, especially at the beginning. And I don't mean to make a mountain out of a molehill because it's only week one. But both parties, if they're going to have success in 2020, need to understand each other. Because one side with a Super Bowl winning head coach and a Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame quarterback who have had experience after experience with one another know how each other operate. And one guy where Sean Payton could probably cook up an offense tomorrow that none of us have seen and probably go out there and score 35 or 40 and do a reasonable job because it's Sean Payton and he is very, very good with offense. He could do that if he had the type of weaponry that he needed, if he had the type of quarterback that he needed to do that. But he has Drew Brees. And Drew Brees is a quarterback now at over 40 years old with limitations. We need to get it to Bruce Arians' head, or somebody needs to. You have a quarterback with limitations. I know Tom Brady thinks he can stretch his bones out. You have a quarterback with limitations, and you need to take care of a quarterback with limitations. And going deep and trying to attack and not trying to do it by a thousand cuts and taking care of your quarterback or not taking care of your quarterback is not the way to go about this season. Because Tom Brady is in his own realm right now where he's going to prove it, that he doesn't need Bill Belichick, that he needs this type of push, that he's that guy. It was him all along. It wasn't Belichick. It was Brady. And this was going to show everybody. That's why he's playing. Tom Brady isn't playing just for a paycheck. He certainly loves football, but don't think that's not a motivating factor. To prove to the world at 43 years old that you can take a team from a point of sub 500 and take them to a point of a deep playoff run, or perhaps people are talking Super Bowl, and for him, he's always thinking Super Bowl. So you think you take a team from here, you put a team there, you show the world that when it's all over, in 20 and 30 and 50 and on the 200th birthday of the NFL, it was Brady. It wasn't Belichick. That's what's going through Brady's head, because you know he's as competitive and crazy as any one of those other people that are out there that we always talk about. He is as competitive and crazy and even more so than anybody else. You saw his media availability this week. He looked like the guy from No Country for Old Men. Guy was nuts. For Bruce Arians, it's week one. It was week one, and you've already put that away because that was last Sunday. You better put the ego aside. You're no spring chicken. You're in your late 60s. You've coached and coached well, and you might think that this is your system and this is the best system for everybody, but what we saw should have been a mirror image of one another. We didn't get anything like that on Sunday. If he were facing a young quarterback, if this were Lamar Jackson in the Baltimore Ravens, if this were Garoppolo, who's not that young anymore, but Garoppolo with the San Francisco 49ers or Kyler Murray, you know, maybe I wouldn't be having this conversation with everybody. It's a different thing. But when you look at two quarterbacks in their 40s, one being taken care of and the other one not, Arians may have his system, but you can't go out there and throw the passes for him. And I have one strong ego in Tom Brady. I got another very strong ego in Bruce Arians. There's going to be a style clash. One has to budge for the other. And this isn't a 22-year-old quarterback anymore, Bruce Arians. This guy's 43. He's got six titles, just like I said. He's got nine appearances, just like he said. I'm willing to bet Tom Brady believes that his way might be the best. Roll over and die? No, don't do that. Help out your quarterback? Yes. Do what's necessary. Look back at what Josh McDaniels did for him in New England. We knew he couldn't load up the ball like he had before. We knew he could. I saved the deflate jokes. We knew he couldn't cock back and let it rip like he had in the past. You watched it. You saw. Over the last eight games of the Patriots season last year, that was the overwhelming narrative. Finally, Brady shows his age. Finally, Brady, it's all caught up with him. Finally, Bill Belichick just can't trot Tom Brady out there and let him make up for any mistakes that Bill Belichick or Nick Caserio or Josh McDaniels have made. That was our narrative over the last eight games. And a lot of that was true. You didn't pay attention to that? You didn't notice that? I know that Tom Brady is a different guy, and I'm willing to bet that, and I've read the TB12 stuff, I'm willing to bet that Tom Brady actually thinks that he can reverse time. Hell, you look at the pictures of the guy from when it was 1999 to now, his face does look a lot better. it does look like he has reversed the aging process, except when it comes to the National Football League. When you're 43 years old and you have a bunch of guys who are in diapers when you won your first Super Bowl running around you, it changes your perspective. And it should change your perspective. And really, it's not even just Tom Brady who needs to learn it. It's the guy handling the offense and putting Tom Brady in that position. Everything you've done in this offseason has been for Tom Brady to take that football team and to take them where they need to go. You need to put your quarterback in the best position possible to do so. Because what we saw week one, if that ever rears its ugly head again, you are going to be one of the biggest disappointments in the league this year. It's going to make Bruce Arians look like he doesn't know what he's doing and the game has passed him up, and it's certainly going to make Tom Brady look old and decrepit, and we'll have shades of Unitas, and we'll have shades of Joe Namath. It's not like that now. It's been 1 week. But if we want to go into the future, if you keep this up, this is Chargers, this is Rams, this is Brady with the Buccaneers, it starts to get put into that mix. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I've laid it out. Brady or Arians? Arians or Brady? Who needs to listen to who to have success in 2020? And will this thing still be successful in 2020? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
1040 this morning at Didi Kinkabwala, NFL Network. We'll talk with her. AFC North's heating up. She covers the AFC North. Lamar Jackson looked like he didn't skip a beat. They have not lost. The Ravens have not lost a regular season game since last October. It's almost been a calendar year since they've lost a regular season game. Pittsburgh's Pittsburgh. Cleveland trying to get back up off the mat. Had a decent performance back on Thursday. I'll talk more about Baker Mayfield. I know you all know where I'm from. I had to have a very strong conversation about Baker Mayfield on Monday morning. And I will share with you that conversation. I want to make sure there's clearance locally there because it went to a tough place. And the best thing about it, or I should say really the worst thing about it, is that it was all true then and it's all true now. And it's going to be a work in progress. And the stuff about Joe Burrow looked pretty good on Thursday night, looked tough the other night, took a beating. That offensive line is still not where it needs to be, and it probably won't be that way for another couple of years. Joe Burrow took a beating, kept going after him. They wanted to throw the football. They did throw the football. They threw the football like crazy. Joe showed off toughness. Joe showed off his arm. He's gonna take him on the chin. He should know that. This is a franchise that he needs to lead. He needs to save. And it's for all those reasons I kind of got upset with Baker Mayfield earlier in this week. It cooled off yesterday, I'll tell you that. But it certainly put me in a bad place with him earlier in this week, and I'll talk about that because right now it looks like they've been sold a bill of goods in Cleveland. And we'll get to that coming up here in a little bit. Bill Bender will join us, Sporting News, National College Football writer. We'll talk with him about the Big Ten coming back. Noon Eastern. You come for the straw man, you stay for the virtue signaling. That's all I'm going to say. It has to do with the Big Ten. That's all I got to say. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Brady or Arians? Arians or Brady? Who should listen to who? Someone's going to have to give a little bit in this relationship. Arians is in his late 60s. He's done it his way. He's attached. He's attacked. He goes vertical. He does things that way. Tom Brady's got 6 championships. I don't know if Tom Brady's just going to stand there and go, "Well, okay, you're the coach, and I'll just do what you tell me to do." Because for Bruce Arians, I think the proof's right there. If you say that Tom Brady was Tom Brady throughout camp, Tom Brady was not getting hit in camp. Tom Brady was not – he's 43 years old. He wasn't getting hit in camp. There was nobody to call penalties in camp. Nobody was really running into each other in camp. No, that's not an excuse. And Tom's a big boy. You can throw him under the bus if you need to, because you did in week one. That ain't going to last very long if you're going to keep that up. 855-212-4CBS. Let me get to David in Buffalo first. David, you're first up on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, bud.
Hey, Ken. Appreciate you having me on this morning, man. Just want to jump in and talk about Tom Brady and Bruce Arians here. I think, you know, Arians is a guy that, you know, he's had a great run. You know, obviously he's coached in a few different places, but Tom Brady is an all-time legend in that sport. And there's few players in any sport that achieved the, you know, greatness he's achieved. I mean, you know, Jordan, LeBron, Tiger Woods, you could put in that same conversation. So I think you kind of have to look at it in the sense that he has to understand this window with Brady is very short. Arians is at the end of his career. And who's he going to find that's really a better quarterback than Tom Brady, you know, at least for the next couple of years? I mean, they had Winston there. That obviously didn't work out. So, you know, the thing I would say is it's a give and take. There's a lot of team chemistry that comes as part of it. So you really have to say, hey, you know, can we get on the same page here? We've got to take a little bit of, you know, what works for each player. But I think you got to take more what works for Brady because he's the guy playing the game on the field.
I'm going to ask you a question. David, I just want to jump in for a second because you're making me think of something here. You know, did Arians want Tom Brady? Did he want a guy who was a master at his craft, or did he want a guy who he thought was going to run his system and limit all the interceptions that Jameis Winston had? Because the only way that you could find a guy that could run that system without the interceptions that Jameis Winston have is to go out and try to trade everything you can for guys who are already under franchise contracts. Because franchise quarterbacks who are already hemmed up for their lives with their football teams are the only guys who could do that. Tom Brady at 43 years old is not going to be able to do that. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I think Brady, you know, you know what his strengths are. And I think that's where a good coach, you know, can coach and say, okay, you know, I'm going to take the strengths of my players and utilize them, even if it means I got to break away a little bit from my system. So I think there's a give and take, but I think you have to adapt to your players first. And that's really kind of how I look at the whole thing, man. Hope you hit them well on Tuesday, Valley
Eagles.
Hold on,
hold on. This is what I wanted to get to. What are I don't want to ask you just a stupid Tiger question, but I'm going to have to. One, how's Wingfoot going to play for the rest of this weekend? Two, is this just the expectation of Tiger Woods that maybe he had his Jack Nicklaus moment at the Masters and then that's it?
Yeah, I think first off, Wingfoot's going to play like a beast. I think even par is probably the winning score somewhere, even par one over. I think any of these guys near the top of the leaderboard could win. I mean, just because it's so difficult and, you know, besides Patrick Reed, none of these guys have really been in the hunt at a major. And as far as Tiger goes, I mean, let's be honest, man. I mean, Tiger's body is probably a 65, 70-year-old body at this age. And I think he can win on certain courses where everything lines up and the fields are, you know, a little bit weaker. Like we saw him win last year in Japan. We saw him, he did well at the President's Cup with a smaller field on a shorter course. Augusta, you know, is a course he's got a lot of knowledge of, but if you don't have that, you know, like if you don't have your A game at a U.S. Open where the greens are really tough, the fairways are narrow, you know, you're going to get exposed. And Tiger's definitely been exposed, you know, because you can see he can't drive it long like he used to. He doesn't drive it straight enough. And at the U.S. Open, you know, that'll show off right away because it's a difficult golf course on you know, especially against a great field that they've got there, Wingfoot, this week.
David, I can't thank you enough for the call. Be well, my friend. And I did not hit it straight on Tuesday over at the Valley. That was a bad day. David in Buffalo, my PGA pro, one of my two PGA pros. Love David in Buffalo, always has good info. Watch Wingfoot on Thursday, a lot of guys under par, and then Friday it just got out of hand. I'm watching it right now. And by the way, for golf, everybody worries about golf after Tiger Woods. We have Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau up there at the top of your leaderboard. Some really likable personalities right up there at the top. Charles in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Charles, go.
Well, first, I'm surprised we're talking about Patrick Reed being a likable personality. But
oh no, I was being very sarcastic. I was being overly sarcastic. Thank you.
Okay. Good. All right. And one quick thing about we know who the better quarterback was there out there on Thursday night, and talk about somebody who needs protection. Hopefully, he doesn't get too roughed up in the process, but. In his first game, he was better than the third-year guy, right? I mean,
yeah.
I
didn't think that Baker was terrible. I thought Baker had a nice, solid game. I think he needed a nice, solid game. I think he's been seeing ghosts, and part of that is on his own. But no, Joe Burrow looked really good. He did look like the better one, and I mean that looks like a division right now where I want to see more time with Joe Burrow and see how that works out there, Charles. And
right.
you're looking at a division right now where it might be. Lamar, we don't know for how long, but Lamar, Joe, Baker, and then whoever Pittsburgh picks up, because Ben Roethlisberger is a Hall of Famer and he's really in a different class. Go ahead, Charles.
Okay. As far as Arians, and I kind of disagree with the other caller, I really think Arians system has to. He's only been there a year. If he's planning to stay there for the long haul, you got Brady. You said a couple of years. I'd be shocked. I really don't have – some of it's a bias. I really don't like him. I'm a Saints fan. I think Drew Brees is much more of a class act. But I just think that he's not going to allow – he gets happy feet. He throws the ball quickly if he's going to get pressure. And if you have some team like Pittsburgh that blitzes him, you know, three out of five plays, he's going to crumble unless he has an offensive line that he can't – that they can't pay for.
Going back to last year, and I said that even in the open, you remember there was a lot of things where that offensive line was really not good last year, and maybe that stuck in with Tom Brady a little bit. Like, you can – I know guys always – they focus on everything that's supposed to be good. You can develop poor habits, and maybe that's a possibility, Charles. I think you might be right on that.
Well, I think the best way to protect him is to get Fournette going. Is the best protection for Brady. They have to get a run game, and so that they – but we'll see.
I think you're right. I think they have to shorten it up, and thank you very much for the call. I think that Bruce Arians has to acquiesce a bit and do what's right for a 43-year-old quarterback. Charles just called in. He's a Saints fan. You saw what good coaching can do for a still-talented quarterback, but, yes, a 40-plus-year-old limited quarterback. You can win a lot of games and win Super Bowls with limited quarterbacks. They all – Listen, Patrick Mahomes isn't going to win every single Super Bowl from here on out. He might win a lot. He might win more than Tom Brady at some point. I have no idea. But you can win, and you will win with limited quarterbacks. We're proving that coaching is as important as it's ever been in the NFL. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL Network. We'll talk about those quarterbacks on Thursday night. What's to come over this weekend, if there's a DEFCON situation with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, I don't really think so. And what's going on in Big D? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Folks, I got great news for you. They're offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's already on top of what Geico could already be saving you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 1 hour from now, Bill Bender, Sporting News, National College Football writer. We'll talk Big Ten with him. Coming up at 11 a.m. Eastern, the top five subject. And I think we've just gotten tired of LeBron. This is an old take. I get the dust off because I was saying this 4 years ago. Right now, a person I was also talking to 4 years ago to get us ready for week two and everything that's especially going on in the AFC North, which I think is maybe the most special division in the entire NFL. Aditi Kinkabwala joins us. NFL Network, follow her on Twitter, at A. Kinkabwala. That's if you can spell the last name correctly. Aditi joins us live on the show. Hello, Aditi.
Good morning. Is the AFC North special to you because of where you live and what your favorite team is? Or in general,
possibly,
do you really think this is a special division?
I actually do because I don't see other teams as closely related to each other as what they are in the AFC North. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, both, you know, because of the steel industry, both would have generational fights at Old Three Rivers as well as at Old Municipal between the union workers up there when they would travel to each other's games. Then Paul Brown getting fired, starting the Bengals, and then the Ravens actually moving from Cleveland. You got two teams in that division birthed from the rib of one team, and then you have a classic rivalry right there geographically with cities that are 2 hours apart. I think it's a very special division, yes.
You know what? That was a tremendous answer just off the top of your head.
I wrote it down during the game on Thursday. I tweeted it during the game on
Thursday.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I missed that. I'm sorry.
Well, you're busy. You're working.
It is worth noting that the Steelers ownership, that the Rooney family, did not want the original Browns to go to Baltimore. So even though they were rivals, they did fight.
Yeah,
for that team
which is
day.
Weird. It's always weird because it's like, well, they fired Paul Brown, and then Paul Brown found the Bengals, and then the guy left anyway. And so it's like, after that, yeah, I hope there's not as much heat with the Brown family and the Cleveland Browns. I hope that we could at least bury some sort of a hatchet there. I don't know. Maybe Mike Brown feels differently. They're a mystery down there in Cincinnati. I got to be honest with you, Didi. They just do things differently. But they look like they got themselves a really good quarterback in Joe Burrow, even though he took a pounding back on Thursday. Still look good. I don't know what you thought.
Well, that offensive line certainly needs to help him out a little bit, but yes. I mean, he didn't flinch. He was absolutely the demeanor that you want out of your future franchise quarterback. Or perhaps already. I mean, they did name him a captain. Even his teammates selected him a captain even before the season started. So maybe there's no future to it. But he didn't flinch. Very calm, very cool, very collected. Absolutely a team-first type of guy. I mean, really, it was notable to see him and Baker hugging after the game and thinking, is this the future of Ohio? Are these the two guys that are leading their clubs for the next decade plus?
Well, it's weird because you see one kid starting to take off, and I remember it was a Thursday night game against the Jets when Baker Mayfield went in, won the game, the victory fridges opened up. I have a victory fridge right now. Let's be serious about this. And boy, after that week one loss to Baltimore, it looked like his star had fallen, and I was getting calls about replacing him already. I thought that they were premature, obviously, but boy, if they would have lost that game on Thursday. I think the real tenor would have changed there. I think Baker Mayfield can have a strong future in the NFL, but I also think that Baker Mayfield can serve as a cautionary tale to Joe Burrow a little bit about, you know what, you're going to get a lot of accolades. You better know how to handle it.
Well, but I also, and that's where we go back to franchise quarterback, these are two totally, completely different demeanors. Mm-hmm. You know, they're both guys that were sort of overlooked at some point, that were kind of underdogs, that weren't necessarily ascendant superstars as 17-year-old recruits, and yet they've handled it very, very differently. And we did say 3 years ago when Baker burst onto the scene and he had all that edge and there was no one that he didn't want to fight back with, be it a radio host or a internet scribe or whoever it might be. It was also that, you know, in that sense, you sort of felt, okay, well, Cleveland needs somebody to stand up for Cleveland. Cleveland needs somebody to say, I'm not going to take it. Whereas at some point you feel like, okay, enough already. Let's just focus on what your job is. And I think that Burrow's demeanor is completely different.
Yeah, I would agree. But my frustration has been, and I'm not going to give away what I can sell later, but I'll just preview it with this. Yeah. Is I thought after the bad season last year, fans in Cleveland were sold a bill of goods. They felt like they were sold a bill of goods. It's almost where he talked it, then he couldn't back it up, and then the fans are the ones left answering for it with other fans, because now with social media, we're more connected than we've ever been. It's like somebody invites us to dinner and then gets up and leaves and sticks us with the bill. So it was
okay,
a weird
fair,
type
but you
of
know
feeling
what?
There.
This is the game of football, right? The quarterback always gets more credit than he deserves and always takes more blame than he's due.
Well, it makes it a little bit easier when that quarterback's been the one barking, though. We know that. Hey, no one made him look at people on other sidelines. No one made him tweet at radio show hosts. We know that. No one made him do those things. So, listen, I think humility will go a long way. I think he can be a star. I think he can be a good quarterback and a top-end quarterback. He's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to be that guy. Nobody. I don't know if anybody is. But I think he can be a good quarterback with certain limitations and can go to the playoffs and win football games. But he needed a dose of humility, and I'm really much hoping that he got so. We know that Joe Burrow's humble. Real quick, on Joe Burrow, you mentioned about the accolades of what he was in high school, the recruiting of what he went through in high school. Ohio State's top end, and certainly LSU is one of the top end teams out there as well, recruiting-wise. Do you think it helps? You know, we got a chance to talk to his dad before the draft process. How much does it help that his dad's a coach compared
Everything.
To some of the other guys that – because, you know, you see the QB1 thing, and it's like, you know, mom and dad have really done a lot to get these kids the coaching – and there's a lot of fawning over, but this guy's dad's a coach. You just said everything. I think there's a tremendous difference.
It's the way that you're raised. It's what your ethos is, what you live, you breathe. You know, I just had this conversation actually I was speaking to the Denver Broncos in-house reporter yesterday, and we were talking about Devin Bush, who's the Steelers linebacker. And Devin Bush is a second-generation NFL player, and he was bred to be an NFL player. I mean, from the minute he came out of the womb, his dad was watching film with him and talking football. And it's why they talk about being a coach's kid. It's what they said about all those years ago, Bobby Hurley and Danny Hurley. You know, I had to throw a basketball reference in there since I heard you talking about LeBron James. And I'm from New Jersey, and, you know, the Hurleys are from New Jersey, and their dad is was a revered high school basketball coach in New Jersey. But the point is it's essentially, it's the same way that you have a second generation doctor, or why it's such a big deal when you sort of buck what your parents do. It's what you know. It's what you're raised with. And I think there's a mindset. I mean, I can even talk about it in my industry. I have a colleague, James Palmer, and his father is a longtime TV person. He just understands the business. James understands the business in a way that it took me a long time to understand, simply because he grew up with it. And so I think that a lot of Joe Burrow's level-headedness and even keeledness is because he's seen it. He's seen it firsthand. He's lived it.
Aditi Kinkawala joining us on the hotline. All right, Aditi, Ben Roethlisberger back on Monday night looked great. I didn't want to bet against him because I didn't want to look like a fool. This team made a workmanlike effort out of the New York Giants. Are they the real deal now? Was that the last question that needed to be answered? Is this team one of the top teams in the AFC and can compete with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yes, it is, but I don't think that Ben was the last question. I think whether they can run the ball is the last question. Whether their offensive line is really as stout as it needs to be. Yes, they have not run the ball well in the last year and a half. They've had ever since Todd Haley left and Randy Fichtner, their longtime quarterbacks coach, was elevated to offensive coordinator. They have not shown a strong commitment to running the football, and they have an outstanding defense. This is a defense that could finish the season as the number one defense in the league. You need to run the ball. You need to give that defense some rest. You need to be able to bleed clock. You need to not put everything on Ben's arm, as healthy as he may be. Now, the good news is that in week one, they did indeed run the ball well. It wasn't with James Conner. It was with Benny Snell. And James Conner is arguably, Conner is, look, he's one of the best stories in the NFL. He's a local Pittsburgh kid in that he grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, an hour and a half away. He went to Pitt, Pitt and the Steelers, I don't know if everybody in the country knows this, but Pitt and the Steelers share a facility. There's a wall down, it's one building, there's a wall down the middle. They share a facility. They eat in the same lunchroom. And so here, James Conner, the kid that overcame cancer, who was the ACC Offensive Player of the Year before he had cancer, who was all of that, gets drafted by his hometown team. And he's a great kid, great teammate, best story that there is. But unfortunately, he has just been plagued by injuries.
Yeah.
All unconnected. And I hate the idea of saying somebody is injury prone, but injury. Monday night, he is the starter. And Mike Tomlin went out of his way to say, yes, he has this great stable of backs, and yes, they all do different things, but his bell cow is James Conner, and yet James Conner hurts his ankle almost immediately. And Benny Snell, the young second-year back who runs like a beast, quite frankly, comes out and rushes for 100 yards, and I think it's his job now, even though Conner's healthy.
Aditi, he dropped that 15 pounds, and I kind of rolled my eyes like, okay, because he did kind of look like me out there last year in his rookie year. And I'm going, Lord. And then I thought last night it was apparent, or excuse me, I thought in week one it was apparent. I go, okay, Benny Snell's the running back. James Conner's hurt too much. Benny Snell's our guy.
You know, and Le'Veon Bell did the same exact thing too. It's a very common thing. They come in here running a certain way. They get through that first year and they realize, you know what, it might help a little bit. And here's the thing with Benny Snell. He can get out in space. He can do some – he's got a deceiving quickness, but he can also put his nose down and just – run up the gut if he needs to. And the Steelers have another young, dynamic running back, Anthony McFarland. He's a rookie. He can do some amazing things in space. The problem with Mike Tomlin has been he likes one guy and one guy only. Going all the way back to Willie Parker when he said, you know, I'm going to run him until the wheels fall off. And he's always done that, whether it was Willie Parker or Rashard Mendenhall or Le'Veon Bell. He likes to have one guy. And what we've seen in the NFL in the last few years, just as teams throw the ball more, they like to use more than one running back. I think a big deal also, I'll go back to Monday night, is Benny Snell had a very nice blitz pickup. And I think that that was part of the question a year ago, too, that you trusted James Conner in pass protection, just like you trusted Le'Veon in pass protection. But I think as Benny proves that he's gotten much better at that, that makes a difference. So again, I think how this offensive line holds up, whether this offensive line can do what it needs to do, and whether the Steelers show a strong commitment to the run game, those are the big questions with the Steelers.
Aditi Kinkawala with us on the show. I got like 60 seconds, and this is a hard break. Like, we will be cut off. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I know usually we make jokes. We will be cut off. Baltimore, When will they lose a game again in the regular season? Will they go an entire calendar year without losing a game in the regular season? Go.
No. I think that, especially when you look at the division and weird things happening in the division, It's always a possibility. But I love Baltimore. I will tell you that. Their defense is even better than it was a year ago. Uh-huh. Lamar Jackson has taken massive strides, especially when it comes to the downfield passing game. They gave him a bunch of more young weapons outside. Baltimore is good, 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 good. So going back to the top of how you started this, I really do love the AFC North, and it's not just because I cover them. I really think that I would not be surprised to see three teams make the playoffs.
I taught a day of virtual kindergarten to my son the other day, Aditi. I'll tell you about that on Tuesday. We thank you very much for the time. All the very best.
I do it every day. You have more empathy for me now?
Yes, I do. You and my wife and the neighbors. I can't. Well, I'm counting down the days to January. Aditi, I wish I had more time. You know I got to run. We thank you very much. We love you.
Thanks for having me. Love you too. Bye.
Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL Network. Find her on Twitter, @akinkabwala. She's wonderful with us on Tuesdays with Lima and I. She's wonderful there. Yeah, I did the virtual. I did a day of virtual. I had fun, and I'm going, don't you do this, because you know it's hell. It's hell to pay every single day. Don't you sit there and say that you had a good time in comparison to Liz, who might be struggling, and compared to all those who have to teach it every day who might be struggling. One day's fine. Every day, there's a new respect. 855-212-4CBS. We'll do the top five at 11:20 a.m. Eastern. We'll get the subject for it next, and I think we've just gotten tired of LeBron James. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.